One of the things I want to do is just start out with talking about something that is pretty obvious, that there's two main things we do when we come together this Sunday, and I'm glad all of you are here to join us. One is we just did, and thank you, Brooke, for just a wonderful worship this morning. One is to worship God. The other one is to hear the Word of God. And when you think about it, there's a lot of reasons why we worship God. In fact, in Psalm 145, it says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." That's one of the reasons we worship the Lord. There's also many reasons why we hear God's word. We do it so we can learn more about God. We do it so we can follow Jesus in his footsteps. But today I want to talk about something you may not have thought about as to a reason why we hear God's word. Why are we going to do what we're going to do right now, which is open up the scripture and hear God's word? And it's a reason that I think that a lot of us can really relate to these days, and many of us, I think, desperately need. And what we're going to hear about today is how hearing God has a lot to do with rest. How many of you need rest right now? Anybody? All right. I mean, especially like Jeff just talked about, just what we went through in the last couple months and everything around the elections culminating last Tuesday night. But there's a lot of us also that are going through a lot of our own personal struggles, a lot of things that some others know about, some don't know about, that's going on inside of us. And for all those things, we just need rest. We're exhausted. And it's interesting because when Jeff told me about preaching today, at first on November 10th, at first I didn't even think about that this would be the first Sunday after the elections. And then he told me what passage I was preaching on, and then I realized that, and I went and I read the passage in Hebrews, because we're walking through the book of Hebrews, and I read the passage that would be assigned for today, and I just thought to myself, there's no coincidences. There's only God incidences, as I call it, because of what the subject is today in Hebrews. It is the subject of rest. And I don't even know if you know, I'm not sure if I really knew that Hebrews really emphasizes this, is how do we as the people of God find rest among everything that is going on in the world. So we're going to see today a connection between hearing God's word and our own personal rest. And so we're going to start out by actually reading and hearing God's word. And I'm going to read to you our passage today. So this is Hebrews. It's from chapter 4. And it's chapter 4, 1 through 13. So hear God's word. "Therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains, let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. For we also have received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. For we who have believed enter the rest in keeping with what he has said, 'So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest,' even though his works have been finished since the foundation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in this way, 'And on the seventh day God rested from all his works.' Again in that passage he says, 'They will never enter my rest.' Therefore, since it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience, he again specifies a certain day, today. He specified this speaking through David after such a long time. 'Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.' For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his. Let us then make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from him, but all things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So we are going to walk through this passage I just read to try to understand if we need rest today, which we do, all of us need rest, how is that connected to what God has told us? How is that connected to Scripture? How is that connected to hearing God's Word? As we walk through, we're pretty much going to walk through in order of the verses, looking at different sections. Some, I will sort of put some different verses together. But we're going to look at these things. We're going to look at the promise of rest. We're going to look at the nature of rest, forfeiting rest, realizing rest, the day of rest, and entering the rest. And we're going to begin with the first verse of Hebrews 4:1. And this is what it says. It starts out by saying, "This, therefore, since the promise to enter his rest remains." Since the promise to enter his rest remains. Now, I don't know. Many of you have heard of different promises of God. Many promises that he gives throughout Scripture. But have you ever heard of the promise for rest? I mean, I don't even know if I remember ever really hearing that as I went to this passage, that this is a promise of God of rest. And what's even more encouraging and exciting is that he says, since the promise to enter his rest remains, which means that it is available to each one of us today. That rest is something that we, that promise of rest is something that we can actually experience, that we can take advantage of today. So where did that rest come from? When God's talking about rest, where did that promise even originate? And if you listen in Hebrews, he tells us, he says in starting at verse 4, he says, "For somewhere he has spoken, God has spoken, about the seventh day in this way. And on the seventh day, God rested from all his works. Therefore, a Sabbath rest remains for God's people. For the person who has entered his rest has rested from his own works, just as God did from his." Now, remember, back in those days, in the early church, they didn't have Bibles like this to carry around. They didn't have chapters and verses. And I think it's almost like, I almost hear like the author of Hebrews in a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek way, just say, "Hey, so somewhere God has spoken about the seventh day." Any idea where that may be? Anybody know? Where did God speak of the seventh day, about him taking a rest on the seventh day? That there's this, where was that? Anybody know? Where? Genesis 2:2. Right at the very beginning of Scripture. If you remember, in chapter 1, is all about God creating everything. He goes through, and for 6 days, God is working to create this creation that we now live in. And then at the end of the sixth day, when he had created all of us, created the humans, he said, "It is very good." And then what does he do? On the seventh day, God rests. On the seventh day, he rests from creation. So when you think of the nature of God, we definitely think God is the creator. But have you ever thought that God is also the restorer? The restorer. I mean, when I thought of that, when I said creator, restorer, I'm thinking, is that even a word? And I looked up the dictionary. It is actually a word. God is the one who rests, and he's the one who is a rester, and he is the one who also, think about it, he created us in his image. So part of the image of God we're created is that we are a people who need to rest. We're not a people who are meant to work all day, 7 days a week in one form or the other. We are a people that God created to work, but a people that God created to also rest and enjoy his rest. But given that we have that rest from God, listen to what happens. Okay, so God from the beginning has himself rested. He says, I've created you in his image to rest. And so then, beginning, going back and looking, starting at verse 1, where I talked about there's a promise of God for that rest, notice that that's not the end of the sentence. Because it says there's this promise for rest that remains, but then he finishes the sentence and says, but let us beware that none of you be found to have fallen short. Or another way of putting that is, beware that none of you have missed it. Beware that you haven't missed this rest of God that he's given us. And that word beware is actually the word fear. That we should have a healthy fear, not like the fear of the world, but more the fear, the reverence of God. Have a healthy fear that he has created us. He has designed us. He wants us to rest. And we can miss that. We can miss this rest that he has given us and enjoying that and having that refresh us. And listen what he says. How do we miss that? And he goes back and gives an example. He says in verse 2, for we also have received the good news just as they did. But the message they heard did not benefit them, since they were not united with those who heard it in faith. So he's talking about we've received this good news, and we know the good news we've received today is the good news of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. But it talks about that someone else has also received that good news. And the author of Hebrews, back in chapter 3 that Jeff covered last week, is where he starts to explain that. He uses Psalm 95, and he says, there was a time when a people of God were rescued from Egypt. If you remember the Exodus story, they were in slavery, and the ancient Israelites were rescued by God. The Nile, going through and splitting open the Nile, and all these miracles God did to rescue his people. Why? So he could bring them to a land of rest, the promised land. But those people who heard that good news, and that's who he's referring to here, and when he says that none of you have been found to fall short, for we also have received the good news just as they did. Who's they did? Just as those who originally were saved from Egypt. But if you remember with the story, they're saved, and within 3 days, after watching all these miracles of God, the people start to grumble. All right, they already start to complain after only 3 days. And then what ends up happening in the story is they start moving through the desert towards the promised land, and they about arrive at the promised land. They're right on the verge of it, and they want to make sure it's safe. So what do? They send a bunch of spies, remember that, into the promised land to see, is it safe for us to go in? Even though God promised them, this is where for you to go now. And the spies come back and report to them, there's giants, okay? We can't enter it with all these giants. We can't get into the promised land. And the people as a whole, they all said, we can't go into the promised land. They did not believe. They heard God's promise that I'm going to deliver you into the promised land, but they didn't believe God. They didn't believe the very thing they heard from God through Moses, that land was for them and they were to now enter it. And so what does God do? They missed out. That entire generation ends up just going around in circles in the desert and misses out on the promise that God brought them. And it was a new generation from them, who then finally got to enter the promised land. Ultimately, because Joshua and a few others had that faith, even though the people at large did not. So they heard this news. They heard the good news of God. They heard from God, you have this place to go to enter for you to rest. And the people did not believe, and they missed out on this rest of God and all the blessings that come from that. Notice that it says, "For we also received the good news just as they did, but the message they heard did not benefit them." They got stuck in the desert. They never got to enter the land. And why did it not benefit them? It didn't benefit them because they were not united with those who heard it in faith. They heard the message, but they didn't believe the message. And so they were not able to enter the promised land, enter the benefit, enter the rest that God wanted to give them, that they had. But then notice what it says in verse 3. And this is our hope for today, that when we hear the word of God, this is what it says. It says in verse 3, it simply says, For we who have believed enter the rest. So for us today, when we hear the word of God and we believe and put our faith in that word of God, that allows us to enter the rest of God. It sounds almost too simple. Like, how do I experience the rest that God can offer all of us? We do that when we don't just hear God's word, but we really think, do we believe it? Do we put our faith in what God has promised us? Now, when you think, so see how important, it's not just hearing, it is believing God, putting our faith in him. In Scripture, when you hear the word faith, when you hear the word believe, when you hear the word trust, it's all the same Greek word. We just translate into different, depending on whether we want to translate faith or believe or trust. It's all the same word, pistis, in Greek. But we have, in our modern culture, we have this idea a lot of times that faith is this blind trust. And I want to read this from a professor of New Testament theology. His name is George Guthrie. I was listening to him around this passage in Hebrews. And this is what he said about faith. It's really important because if we hear and we're going to believe, what does that really mean? And this is how he puts it. He says, the concept of faith that we have in the 21st century is really a modern concept. It's the idea that faith is turning our backs on facts and taking a blind leap. But that is not a biblical concept of faith. The biblical concept of faith is that you step out on what God has revealed as true. That's what faith is. It is trust. And when he says it is trust, it means it's a relationship that we have with God where we put our trust in him. It is trust. It's not a blind leap. We're not asked to do a blind leap into the dark. It's a step rather into the light. You're stepping out on what God has revealed as true. What God has revealed in Scripture and his acts in history reveal things about his character that we can trust. That is what faith is. It's putting our faith in the God who created us, the God who is also a rester, like we said, and the God who wants to give us that rest. So when we hear and we ask ourselves, are we also believing what God said and putting our faith in him? There's also the idea of that word pistis also carries the idea of allegiance. So it's not just that we put our faith in anybody. It's by faith that says we're putting our allegiance in Jesus Christ, who God has made Lord over all, who died on the cross for us. That is where we're putting our faith. And that allegiance means we follow him. No one else. He is the Lord over all. No one else. And so that the idea of faith also carries that along with it too. So when you think of this, a lot of times when we think of rest and we think of what are we resting from, often what we're doing is we're thinking of works. It says here that we are, it's through our works that we then rest. When we have this rest from God, I want you to think about all the different ways we work in which we need to rest from. So we work physically. A lot of us have jobs of one form or the other, so we're working to earn a living. We do other types of work physically. We also do a lot of work, as we all know, mentally. A lot of us doing work that we're not physically doing the work, but we're mentally using our brains, our minds. So there's those types of, when we get the idea of what are we working on that we need to rest from. But there's also sort of the negative aspects of that too. So when you think of rest, we're also to rest from things that we are negatively trying to work for that we really shouldn't. So if you think about it for a minute, a lot of us, we tend to want to work for our worth. We want to try to find our worth in this world, and we're working really hard to find out our value in this world. Another way we work what we shouldn't is we worry. How many of you worry? Okay, we worry and we worry, and that takes a lot of effort, and we get tired from worrying all the time. All these different ways, both the positive ways in which we work and the negative ways in which we work, God says, I want to give you rest from that. And the way he says we do that is by hearing his word and then believing that we can actually trust in him. Because when we really trust in God, think of the rest we get. No longer, when we trust in God, are we having to put our trust in our work or our worth, or those things we worry about. Just think for a moment about how much you expend energy doing things, trying to make things work, worrying about things, when really, if you just rest from that, if you believe God and trust him for it, you go, I don't have to worry about this anymore. And in that, we start finding this rest of God he's given us. So rest is something God offers that takes care of both our physical aspects and our work stuff, but also takes care of all the different things we do negatively, where we're just expending all this energy, and God says, trust me. If you just believe what I say, then I will give you that rest. And then the question is, when do we get that? Okay, so if you think about the Jews, even still today, the ones who observe the Torah and stuff today, they have a day of rest, don't they? They have the Sabbath. Every week they have a day of rest. We don't tend to do that, do we? But the rest that God's speaking about here is not just a rest that we have to wait every 6-7 days to do. It is a rest we can enjoy and experience at any time, when we put our trust and our faith in God. So when is that available to us? Listen to what he says in Hebrews. He says in Hebrews 4:6, he says, therefore, since it remains, this rest remains for us to enter it, those who have formerly received the good news did not enter because of disobedience. And then it says, God again specifies a certain day for us to rest. We don't have to wait 6 days. What day do we get to rest? Today, okay? We get to rest today. He specified this, speaking through David after such a long time. Today, if you hear his voice, today, if you hear the word of God, do not harden our hearts. Rest and trust that God has got this figured out for us. And when we do that, we experience a rest that is actually more refreshing, I think, than just taking a day off, because we're fully trusting God in the things that he has said. I know for me, without even realizing this, sort of an irony here, because I will admit that I had a lot of anxiety about the elections, okay? I was worrying about it a lot. Okay, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And what's really interesting is we went into Tuesday. On Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, I get the honor of being with the men going through scripture up in the upper room. A bunch of us men meet every Tuesday night to do that at 7 o'clock. I invite you if you ever want to come. And we've been going through the book of Romans. And I thought for this last Tuesday night, I thought, hey, I want to get the guys to help me with the sermon. So I thought, let's go through this passage. And so all of Tuesday, when all the stuff's going on with the election, instead of watching the news, worrying. I'm sitting here studying and reading God's word and hearing it and getting prepared for the men on Tuesday night, not knowing how many men are going to show up on Tuesday night. I didn't know because of the elections. And what was such a blessing is I walked upstairs 7 o'clock at night, and we had like 15, 20 guys who said, I want to come and hear God's word tonight. And we all went around this passage and talked about this passage and read the passage. And it was afterwards that I was driving home that I realized I didn't worry. I didn't have any anxiety. I wasn't even didn't even think about the elections. And I thought, what a blessing. I got to experience exactly what God's talking about here, of how much we really can rest in God when we just put our focus on his word and we believe that word. You just go, God, you've got this. Even for the things that are so hard in our lives that we think we've got to worry to make it happen, or we've got to work really hard to make us feel like we're worth something. We don't have to. We can just say, God, you say, trust you, and we trust him, and we feel and experience that rest from that. And what's also interesting is that this is actually a command. This is not something where, okay, well, he doesn't just, hey, if you get a chance, rest. This is actually a command God gives us. In fact, in verse 11, it says in Hebrews 4:11, listen to how the command is of how we're supposed to be in this rest. It says, let us then make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall into the same pattern of disobedience. So we will not miss that rest. Listen to the command. Let us make every effort to enter that rest. Doesn't that sound almost like an oxymoron, a paradox? Work really hard, put a lot of effort into rest. Almost sounds like, what? And I was thinking today and listening to Toby this morning. She was sharing with us in prayer before our service. She was sharing with us, she just went on vacation with her husband, and they went up to the Redwoods up north. And I was asking her, so, you know, how'd you get up there? Did you drive? What did you do? And she says, well, no, you know, we got all ready, and we took, I don't know if they took a car, they drove up to LAX, got on the puddle jumper, had to fly to the location they were going, and then get in a car and go to the place where they were going to spend their vacation. Think about that. When we take a vacation, how much effort do we put in so we can rest, all right? We're called to do that. There is effort of what we have to do so we can rest. The effort here is we've got to hear God's word. We've got to say, instead of listening to all the news, instead of scrolling on my phone, instead of doing all these things we do, we have to stop. And we have to say, let's, instead of putting my effort into all those things, let me put my effort into hearing God's word, into praying to God, into listening to God, into being around the people of God. Let me put my effort into hearing him so I can believe and through that get the rest of God. That is how we really come about. It sounds almost too easy, doesn't it? But it's because we do put our focus on Jesus, do put our trust in him, do put our effort into that instead of everything else, that you will see his promise fulfilled in your life, that you will all of a sudden go, I'm resting in God. I'm resting in God. So as we go through and as I close, I want to just say, one important reminder as I talk about putting that effort in to rest. And we're going to be seeing this throughout Hebrews. I love the fact that we're going through the book of Hebrews because its sole focus is on who Jesus is. Not just who he was and what he's done, but that today he sits at the right hand of God, interceding for us today so we can experience that rest and put our trust in him. So this effort, what we're doing is all about a relationship with Jesus. And in Matthew, another well-known passage about rest. So I want you to just hear this, because this is not about us doing a bunch of works to try to obtain that rest. It's about a relationship with Christ and putting our focus on that. He says in Matthew 11:28-30, he says, And listen, for all of us, hear God's word. Hear Jesus. He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. It is Jesus who gives us that rest, but we have to put the effort in to come to him to experience that rest. And if you want to have a place to start and you said, you know, maybe I haven't really read the Bible lately, where do I start with all this? I would invite you to start with the book of John. The Gospel of John, we went through that in the men's group last year. What a blessing to really understand who Jesus is. It's like what we're doing with Hebrews. You find out just in the opening chapter how Jesus came, and in coming, in our believing in him, we are now a child of God. We now have this relationship with his Father that we can find that rest in. And all through the book of John. So I say, start reading the book of John. Just sit down and hear God. And as you do, believe in what it says as to who he is and that he's there to give you that rest. And as we close, just for any of you out there, if any of you have not really put your trust in Jesus, if you're still struggling with who is this Christ, who is this one that I hear about in the Bible, can I really trust him? I love what it says in 2 Corinthians. It says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now, today, is the day of your salvation. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for sending your Son to die on a cross for us so we can have this relationship through him with you, through the Spirit, that we can put our trust fully in you, that we can find eternal life in you, that in this world we can rest in you. If anybody doesn't know him today, Lord, I just pray, and they can pray, Lord, today is a day of salvation. We put our faith in you. In Jesus' name, Lord, amen.